Let's remain standing. And actually, I have a scripture that I'm going to read before Mark chapter 4. And this is from Luke 8 and verse 18, if you have your Bibles with you. It says, "Take heed, therefore, how you hear." Now, you know, we say, well, we hear with our ears, right? I mean, that's what push play is all about, hearing, you know. But he says, "Take heed how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given." And that word "hath" is echo, so whosoever echoes, to him shall be given. "And whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he has echoed." Okay? And so we'd just like then to go into Mark chapter 4. And I'm entitling this, "Take heed what you hear," or what manner you're hearing. Mark 4, verse 24-25. "And he saith unto them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you." In other words, what is your measuring stick? If it is the word of God, you will hear properly, and if not, you won't. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your word today, and I'm really excited to bring this message. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to just stick with our notes as much as possible, because we have a lot to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you may be seated. Notice, take heed how you hear. Well, the word, the actual Greek word there is for how is pos. And it actually means in what manner you're hearing, okay? So take heed in what manner you're hearing. And, of course, Mark 4 says take heed what you hear, all right? And then, "And unto you that hear shall more be given." So if you echo that word, you will have more of the same. In other words, Brother Branham spoke the word, and if you got a true fivefold ministry who's saying the same thing, you're going to hear the same voice over and over and over again. Now, I know that's blasphemy to some people in this message that only think Brother Branham had the word of God. Brother Branham was a revealer of the word, but if you don't have it as a fivefold ministry, then you're a false fivefold minister. You better be saying the same thing the prophet said and taking it to the same word that the prophet brought it for. Otherwise, you're not being careful what manner you're hearing. All right? So if you echo the word, you will have more of the same. If you do not, you will not have the same. Now remember, the word "hath" is a Greek word "echo." "For he that echoes, to him shall be given more." See, if you echo, it's over and over and over again. Sometimes you got a really good echo that you hear it maybe 8 times. Other times you hear it only maybe 2 times. All right? But it's an echo regardless. "For he that echoes, to him shall be given more, and he that echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing." Why would they think they're echoing? Because they said it one time. Or they heard it one time. They went to church, they push play, they heard it one time, then they go home and their conversations about cars and homes and everything else. Now Jesus is telling us to take heed. In other words, he's saying, be careful what we are hearing. It's like the sun. Do you focus on the sun? If you do, you will blind yourself. Think about this. Brother Branham brought the light, and the light brought him. Okay? It's like the sun. If it's at your back, Brother Branham said, you'll see clearly in front of you. But if you're looking into it, you're blinded. And if you're only looking at what Brother Branham says, and you're not taking it to the Word of God, you don't see. You are blinded. You say, that's blasphemy. No, that's the truth. That's what Brother Branham himself said. All right? Notice, Jesus is telling us to take heed. In other words, be careful. It's like the sun, okay? If you look only at the sun for all of your mysteries and all of your understanding, you're going to have 2 souls and 7 thunders and all this other stuff because you're only looking at what part of what he said. But you got to take what he said, like Billy Paul said, you have 2 sights on a rifle, a front sight and a back sight. If you're only looking at the spoken word and you're not looking at the front sight, you're going to miss. But if you're looking at the Word of God lined up with the spoken Word, you're going to hit exactly on target. I heard Billy Paul say that maybe 5-10 times. Okay, different services I was at. So I said, the message is like the sun. If you use the light of the message to look at the Word, you will see the Word of God in a way which you never saw it before. So no message, no light on the Word. A powerful flashlight is not to be looked into or you will go blind. It is a tool to look around at things in the dark, which to shed light on those things. That's why you have the car headlights are in the front of the car, not in the back of the car. You don't want to drive down the road with nothing in front and just looking at what you came out from. Brother Brown said, you'll crack up, okay? So you've got to have the light to show you out here. That's what the message is. It was a tool that God brought. He descended with the shout. William Branham did not descend from anything. He was born. But he said, it's not me that descended. I'm only standing there when he is near. Amen. All right? So the message, as I said, is a tool. It's to shine upon the Word. It is not something we stare into to find all the mysteries. It is a tool of God gave to us to examine the Word, to see the Word properly. So when we read this Word, that tells us to be careful what we hear. The Greek word was translated, what, was the Greek word tis. And it actually means in what way that you are hearing. If you're only listening to tapes and not going to your Bible to find out what Brother Branham is saying, you don't know what he's saying. You're looking through one sight. You're going to miss the target altogether. There's a lot of people think, well, I can just listen to tapes. I don't need a five-fold ministry. That's not what the prophet taught. And if you're saying it and the prophet taught different, you're saying different from the prophet. And we are commanded to be careful in what way we are hearing. That's a commandment. And it also means who. And therefore could be read, be careful to whom you are listening to. And why would it matter whom you listen to? Eve listened to the wrong person and threw the whole world into chaos. But to just preach from the message, you end up with two souls, seven thunders, polygamy, the bride speaks and the rapture takes place, the second coming has already taken place, and the bride is God. I've heard all of those things in this message, so-called message. Or the parousy is the second coming. I heard them say that too. I remember a man from Kentucky wrote to me in early 1980s. He said, well, if the Lord has already come, then do we not take communion anymore? I said, look in your Bible. It's not, the word is not parousia. It's erkome. There's a difference between the appearing and the coming. The appearing is now, but the coming is thereafter. All right? The appearing makes a way for the coming. You see, that's what Brother Branham taught. And it is not that Brother Branham taught these things, like polygamy and all these, but they take half quotes, like he said, well, polygamy is better than divorce. Oh, so it's better than divorce, then we might as well do it. No, that's not what he said. You see, you're not listening to what he said. You take only that little portion that benefits your fornication or your adulterous spirit, and you throw out everything else. So just to preach from the Bible, you can just be preaching in darkness. You have no light from the flashlight, the sun. You have no light on the Word. So you end up preaching denominational thoughts as well. If a man doesn't shine this end time prophet's light upon the Scriptures, he is deceived and also a deceiver. So you need to have both. I hope you don't think I'm mad. I'm just kind of excited. Okay. And the people who say we only need to hear it from Brother Branham, that is not even what Brother Branham taught. I'm going to show you specific quotes today where he's taught different from that. That is like we need only to see the sun and examine it. So you look right at the sun, and guess what? You walk away with either spots in your eyes or you walk away blinded. But the message only will blind you It is supposed to work with the Word to shed light upon God's Word. The message by itself doesn't do anything. It's not a new message. It's the same message Paul preached, Brother Bram said was. It's not a new message. All right? Now, the same, well, we are warned by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, the same apostle was afraid the church at Corinth had been listening to false brethren who had crept in unawares. And so he warned them that opening themselves up to deceivers. And just as Alpha has become Omega, I can understand why people want to only listen to the message, but that is not God's way at all. That is like looking into the sun and saying only the sun gives light. There is a truth to that, but to examine the light, the sun, on its own, it will blind you. That's, again, why we have so many different denominations in this message. Brother Brown said the message itself will never denominate, but there's a lot of people who will. Brother Brown said it only takes two people to form a denomination. Now, Brother Branham was invited to a place in New York to speak one time, and they kept him in the pastor's study the whole time, and they never let him come out to preach. Now, they used his name on their flyers and their banners to attract the people to the church, just like they're doing with just play the message, push play, push play, push play. We're attracting the people to the message, but then we don't take the message and line it up with the scriptures. You see? They use his name and their flyers and banners to attract the people to their church, but they never allowed him to preach. So Brother Vail, seeing what dirty trick that they pulled, he said to Brother Bram after it was over, he said, let's just bypass the ministers altogether and hold our meetings directly with the people without going through them, the ministers. And Brother Bram said, no, Brother Lee, that is not God's way. We must go through the ministry. So as much as I like the people, myself, as I like the people to bypass all the fake ministers out there, that is not God's way at all. We must do what God says. And he says not to forsake the gathering of the saints, especially as the days grow closer to the end. If you're just staying home and pushing play, you are not gathering together with the saints. You are doing contrary to the word of God. Okay? I don't mind a whole church coming and listening to Brother Branham. That's fine. But do it together as a church, not as an individual. You can do it during the week as an individual, but Sunday is given for a specific time, and you're supposed to gather together with the saints. Now, that's the error that the first church age made. From the church age book, he says, but as usual, people don't heed God's warning. The revival fire built upon the sacred word is so wonderful and the manifestation of the Spirit is so blessed that a little fear creeps in and a whisper in the heart says, how can we protect this truth? What do you think push play is all about? It's trying to protect the people from the false ministers out there. But it's not the way God does it. God wants you to be subject to what you hear so that you can challenge that minister that if he's saying the truth of the Bible or not. God wants you to grow up. You don't grow up if you just do this all the time. Like little boys, and you know, they play their games, Nintendos and everything else. You don't grow up that way. You get to, your dad gives you a gun, you go out and use it. You know, you got to do things for yourself. When I was a child, my mom would say, don't come home till your father gets home. So we had 4 to 5 hours just to play, just to go and explore. And you know what? If we climbed and got hurt, that was on us. Come home one time with some blood on me. Mom says, well, that's fine. You know, you got in a fight? Well, I hope you got more blood on him, you know. In other words, look, the men of this generation don't know what it was like to grow up in my generation. Or Brother Bram's generation, on. Men used to come to school riding a horse with a gun on it. They would take their gun into the classroom. When I was in school, you could take your gun into the classroom. You had to leave your bullets at the principal's office. Well, today, if you even draw a gun or do this, you know, you get arrested and thrown, you know, they want to kick you out of school and everything else. It's insanity. All right? So they have this fear. How can we protect this truth? What can we do to see this revival goes on? That is when the Antichrist spirit, yes, Antichrist spirit, comes in and whispers, look, you have the truth now. It's on tape. Play the tape. All right? He says, you have the truth now. See that it doesn't get lost. Now, this is thus saith the Lord from the prophet. How can we protect what we have? Organize and set up your creed of what you believe. Push play, that's a creed. Brother Bram never said push play, not one time. He said, say what is on the tape. And in order to say it, you have to understand it, or everybody's going to know that you're not saying what Brother Bram said. Put it all in the church manual. And they do it, they organize, they add to the word. And they just die like Eve did for taking one word, one wrong word. It's God's word that brings life. And it's not what we say about the word that counts. But it's what God said about his own word. Look, the sun brings light and it brings life. You all believe that? But the same sun that hardens the clay also melts the wax. You look directly only at it and you blind yourself. And that is exactly what they have done. Because of fear that some will be deceived. I don't care if people are deceived. The elect can't be deceived. So if they get deceived, they're not elect. I don't worry about them. God said the elect will not be deceived. So if you are saying, well, we don't want people to be deceived by these fivefold ministers, so we just push play, then you have built yourself up a little phobia that doesn't believe God's word when God says the elect will not be deceived, and you're trying to save people that aren't worth saving. And they add here by playing push play, and no one can preach but Brother Branham. That's what they're saying. And they take away there and have relegated the fivefold minister of God to just pushing a button. Whoever heard of the fivefold ministry, we're just going to open our Bibles today and we're just going to read what Paul says. And now we've read it, we can all go home. You're relegating the fivefold that God placed in the church for the perfection of the people. You say, well, the blood perfects us. Well, the blood perfects us, but you are matured. That word perfect means matured. You are matured through a fivefold ministry who shows you the difference between right and wrong. He shows you how to rightly divide the word of truth. But they take away there and have relegated the fivefold ministry of God to just pushing a button. And for that they will have their names removed from the book of life for taking away from God's word. You understand that? If they're saying there's no more fivefold, they have their names stricken from the book of life. That's pretty serious. He said in his word that he, God, placed these gifts in the church and he will not be through with them until they have all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. And since we have not reached the contractual clause yet, because that's the contractual clause that ends the fivefold ministry, and we haven't gotten there yet, and it's a contract between God and his church, they have chosen to not try to nullify that clause in God's contract with the church. When they do that, they are not preaching the truth. How does a church ever reach maturity if they never have the opportunity to share the truth with the preacher when he is missing the mark? If you just came to church and believed everything I said, you're lost. I'm sorry, because you don't know it by the word. I try to teach it by the word, but you know, if you don't understand it by the word, you're just a follower. By attending church, the people can see for themselves and make a choice to disagree with a church that has missed the mark and where it has not. Now, they are not obligated to attend a church that is off the word. I'm not saying they are. But to say all churches are off the word is a lie. God said the bride would not be deceived. So there are churches that won't be deceived. Why? Because the people know there's two sights on the gun. There's a spoken word and there's the written word, and you've got to line them up. So then they should seek a church who is on the word. And really the only way to tell is, like Brother Billy said, they must be able to preach this message from the word of God. He always said, you have two sights on any gun, and if you plan to hit the target, you must use both sights. Those using just one sight will miss the target altogether. How many arrows shot a gun in here? All right, do you know what I'm talking about? You can't just shoot from the inside. You know, well, I'm going to be a fast shooter. Yeah? You never get it. You'll never get it. All right, now some people can shoot this, but they practice thousands and tens of thousands of times until they know where to direct their hand. All right, it's like shooting a BB gun. You shoot the BB gun, and you see that the BB went above or on side of the target. So your next one, you kind of change your trajectory a little bit, and you try to close it in. All right. But he always said you have two sights on any gun, and if you plan to hit the target, you must use both sights. Those using just one sight will miss the target altogether. And it's like if your denomination, you just use the word, and they miss it altogether. And if you're a fake message person, you just listen to Brother Branham only, and you'll miss it because you don't line it up with the word. So you don't even know what he's talking about. So the two sights of the Bible and the end time vindicated prophet, the written word and the spoken word, then you will hit the target every time. I'm not saying don't listen to tapes. I'm saying when you do, make sure your Bible's with you and you're writing down scriptures and you're checking those things out. Not to see if Brother Brown's wrong, but so that your awareness of what he's saying is from the word. All right. So in the Alpha, the people were being seduced away from Christ just like today. And he said, those who deceive you are also themselves deceived. That is why they appear so sincere. But as Brother Bram said, they're sincerely wrong. A person that feeds their child to a crocodile to appease a volcano god is pretty sincere to do that, but they're pretty sincerely wrong. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 1, would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that you may present that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Not everything's hunky-dory, we just love Jesus and we're just so good. No, he said a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin. All right? One who's been put to the test. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that's his cunning use of false wisdom, so your mind should be corrupted, that means to become polluted from the simplicity, which means the single focus that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, that word in the Greek is allos, which means of a different one altogether, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, and that word is the word heteros, which means of another nature, which you have not received, or another, and that word is a different nature, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, why are you putting up with it so easily? And this word another also means a different nature, okay? Which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And why then do you put up with it so easily enough? Paul was shocked by the lax attitude of the believers at Corinth. Can somebody turn the air down?
Yeah,
did you? Okay. Paul was shocked by the lax attitude of the believers at Corinth because he could hardly believe that these people would be so naive that they would listen to these false ministers who were preaching a totally different Jesus than what he had been preaching. And the reason they were preaching a different Jesus is because the gospel they were preaching was of a deviated nature. He called it perverted. And thus the people were receiving a different spirit than the one promised by God. Now look, I believe there is a true fivefold ministry, but I do not believe that there are too many of them. In fact, Brother Vail told me that a brother asked Brother Branham, how many true fivefold ministers are there? And Brother Branham put up five fingers. Pretty common sense, right? Fivefold. Now, I do not know if that actually happened, but I can't imagine Brother Vail making that up. And that seems right to me. Not too many out there. There's not too many true ministers out there. And I believe if a man is a true fivefold, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, he must preach this message from the Bible. In other words, like we do here, we take one of Brother Branham's sermons. It might take us 5 years to get through it. But we take what he says in a certain paragraph, then we take it right back to the scripture from Genesis to Revelation and show exactly so that you know what he's talking about. He must preach from both the spoken word and the written word, or he is just looking into the sun for light and will be blinded. Push play is a cop-out. Brother Branham didn't say it, so if you're saying it, you're adding to the message. Brother Branham was asked if he was the only one to preach, and he said no. From Questions and Answers, 1964, Brother Branham was asked this very same question. Now, Brother Branham, is it true that no one should preach but you? I want you to watch what he says, because there are those who still believe this, and they try to justify what they believe, but that is contrary to what he taught. Now, the question continues. We have seen you, Brother Branham, we've seen you ordain men. We don't believe that you would do that if there were not men to preach. Mercy, brother, sister, whoever told you that, nobody's to preach but me, I'd be a sure subject to God for that. No! Every man that feels the call of God upon his life, get into the ministry and start preaching. We need them. Men of God are anointed all over the world to preach the gospel. See, but there's people say, we don't need the fivefold. Oh, well, you don't, because you're not going where the fivefold is supposed to get you. I'm just one little pebble on the beach among many big stones. See? There's just many that's more eligible, more worthy, more of anything to preach than me. I'm just one little humble person laying out there. You know, Brother Branham said, put your finger in a bucket of water and the hole that it leaves in the water when you take your hand out is how much God needs me. Well, that's how much God needs any of us. I'm one grain of wheat in the whole garner. See? You know what I mean? Any man that's called of God needs, N-E-E-D-S, needs to preach the gospel. Not push play. Preach. You don't push play you don't preach by pushing a button. You preach by speaking the word. Now, of course, there is a qualifier. They must only say what Brother Branham has said on those tapes, or what the Apostle Paul has taught. Even Brother Branham qualified that he only taught what Paul taught. So take all the words that he spoke, and only the words that he spoke, and Paul spoke, and they better come out the same. Because the first message and the last message are the same. Now look, if Jesus told us that his words were spirit and they were life, then to receive another gospel, one with a twist, cannot possibly bring the same life of the eternal God. Notice he calls these men evil and also calls them seducers. Now, seduction is not clubbing you over the head and beating you on the pulpit, but seduction is done by using flattering language. And flattering language is used to lure you into a scheme. And notice Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And if it will wax worse and worse, then it should not surprise you in these last days that everything is fake. Everything. And because everything appears to be fake and people saw the vindication of God's prophet, they have fallen for the lie that says the only safety is to hear it straight from the prophet alone. And Brother Branham said, no! No, I'm not the only one who's supposed to preach. So Brother Branham said no to that. And then falling for this lure, Satan has trapped men into thinking that the word of God means nothing and the word of William Branham means everything. Well, I'm here to tell you, Brother Branham didn't bring a new message. He preached what Paul preached. He wasn't greater than Paul. Paul also had word of the Pentecost is called word of knowledge, but Paul also had the discernment. You know, the Messiah sign. He also had, and Paul brought this word, and he got it directly from the pillar of fire. Brother Branham just did the same. He just took it right back to what Paul said. That's right. So never forget that Alpha has become Omega. The first message and the last message are the same. Can you imagine the followers of Paul denying Peter? He was an apostle, you know. But he wasn't the vindicated messenger. How about James and John? They knew this Bible. Paul went to check up his revelation with them. Paul said, some of you say that I'm of Paul. Yeah, that's the tape players or tape listeners. And others say, I'm of Cephas. That's Peter, you know. Or even Apollos. And he was a teacher in the church back then. He wasn't an apostle or a prophet. And then he said, are you not all carnal? Huh? We can apply that today. It's carnality that would push that. You think such. He said, we are all preaching the same gospel. The head doesn't say to the feet, I don't have need of you. But these say that they don't need a fivefold ministry, yet God said, until. And until hasn't happened yet. Paul was a prophet messenger for their day. But Paul went to them to hear for himself whether they were preaching the same message. People know that the message is genuine because of vindication, but they have been falsely led to believe that there is no truth outside of William Branham, and that is the greatest message heresy that has cropped its head in the message. If they are saying the same thing William Branham said, then that's the same voice, because Brother Branham said the word of God is the voice of God. They say, no, William Branham's a voice. Well, you're a liar. You are a liar if you believe that. You are a liar. He was the voice to the age, but it was God's voice, the word that he had. Oh, no, I believe it was his vocal cords. Come on. You are trying to dissect the word of God and make it of no use. People know that the message is genuine because of vindication, but they have falsely led to believe that there is no truth outside of William Branham, and that is the greatest message heresy that has cropped its head in this message. It has done more harm than any other of these false doctrines that cropped up. If you are preaching the same word as William Branham as he did, then you are preaching what Paul preached. And God will back it up with signs and wonders. I know because I am a witness. I've seen God many times do the same thing in my ministry. Now, I don't have the sign of Messiah, but I've seen storms stop. I've seen the temperature drop by 30 degrees. I've seen limbs come back on a person's body. Man had his foot cut off at the heel and God grew it back. I've seen all these things happen. Okay? That's not me. That's God. So to believe that only William Branham understands this message is a falsehood, because he never said he alone can preach this message. He said in the Church Age book, the Smyrna Church Age, he said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger, in this case William Branham, in a certain area, Jeffersonville, and then speaking how the message will continue on, from that messenger there spreads the light. He didn't say another light, did he? He says the light, the same light. through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And as Brother Vail said, to be faithfully taught, there's one who's faithfully to teach and others who are faithful to shut up and listen. Now, he is not speaking of another light. He is speaking of the same light and how it continues to be spread through the men who have been faithfully taught. That doesn't mean you finished or you fished or you hunted with him. That makes you a someone to listen to. It means he used the light upon the word and he showed you how to use the same light upon the word. And you have been faithfully taught to do so as he did. That means you preach the same thing from the scriptures like he did. Now see, Gehazi was a servant of Elijah. He had a very close relationship with Elijah. And God even opened up his eyes to see the angels. But in the scriptures, we also find he stole from the prophet. So just association with the prophet doesn't mean hoot. Now, for those who are translating, that just means it doesn't mean anything. That means you preach the same thing from the scriptures like he did. And so to say, but of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoke. So they are to speak, but only what the prophet taught them to speak. He never taught you to push play. He taught you to say what he said. But he says there will be some who don't say what the prophet told them to say. They do not use the light properly to show the word. So they say, I want you to be safe, so I won't speak. I will just push play. And that is where they fall short. Now remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet, or even spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And then he says, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? In other words, did God tell you to say push play, or did it just come to you in another way? Because the prophet never said it. Oh, they say we got it right because we only listen. And there are dozens of quotes where Brother Branham said, you who are listening to this tape, you heard it wrong. I never said that. And so they misquote the prophet. And he never said to just listen. He said, tell others. And to do that, you have to speak this word. And that shows whether you understand what he said or you don't. And he never said just to listen. He said, tell others. Okay. But we just read several times what both Paul and William Branham said, that they must not say anything but what Paul said. And both prophets never said they must play what they said. And Paul did not say, you must read what I said. No, he said, you must say what I said. So then they do not quote the prophets that they are saying what if they're not saying what the prophet said. You see, what proves that you have it right is if you say it and back what you are quoting with scriptures. Now you're hitting on. Then that sets you apart from others that say it wrong or don't say it at all. They say what is on the tape. He never said play what is on the tape. But they add here, push play is adding to the message. You can't deny that it isn't. Or take away there. Take away means to deny, which says no to a true fivefold ministry placed by God in the church. In denying the true fivefold ministry is to say that they actually don't need them to help. I've heard people tell me that. I won't say who they are, but I mean, I'd like to, but you might offend some, so I won't say it. But in denying the true fivefold ministry is the same thing as saying we don't need them. And I've heard people say we don't need them. We don't need a fivefold ministry. You know, I used to chew my child's food until he was about three, and then I gave him food after that. I gave him his own meat. Well, I've never, you know, And my daughters are sitting here, they know. I never chewed their meat for them first. That is so gross to even think such a thing. But they do. That's how they justify it. But the scripture says that we need to say it, not play it. And to believe otherwise is Laodicean. You think you're rich and increased with good. You have all the tapes, but don't know that you are miserable, blind, and naked. Could you imagine if the Ethiopian eunuch was to tell Philip, I don't need a man to teach me that. I can read it for myself. That would have been his end and the end of the story. But God placed in that scripture for a witness. It is put in the Word of God for a reason. And Philip wasn't even a fivefold minister. He was a deacon. And the Ethiopian eunuch had respect for that deacon. And he said, I need a man to teach me what this is saying. But there's people in this message who don't think so. That's why Brother Branham said there may be 500, and yet there's 2.5 million people claiming to believe the message. Not going to be a lot there, because they're not saying what the prophet said. Now, Paul, the messenger to the Alpha age, said in Ephesians 4 and 9, now that he ascended, what is it that also he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up above, up far above the heavens, that he might fill all in all, all things. And he gave some. He gave some. Who gave some? The devil? Well, that's what people are saying. Well, there's not, no, we don't need a fivefold ministry. Listen, he gave, God gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Who gave some? God gave some. For what? For the perfecting. That means the finishing off or maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, and that means until, that's God's final clause in his contract with the church. It tells you it doesn't end until we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. And it says, we all come in the unity of the faith. So have we arrived there yet? Then we still need a fivefold ministry. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, have we arrived there yet? Most who just listen to tapes can't take it back to the scripture, and therefore they say Brother Branham is preaching a oneness doctrine. And he's not. He said they're both wrong, the Trinity and the oneness. It's right in the middle. You know, I've been warmed up yet, so bear with me. And frankly, Brother Branham said, those of you who listened to the tape, you might have thought, in other words, your thinking is that I said this, but I didn't say that. He said, you might have thought such and such, but you got it wrong. From anointed ones to the end times, and now, I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. And don't most of the people listening to tapes today think it's all about Brother Branham? When he said, God needs me about as much as a hole in water. He says, I have no more to do with it than anything or nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. That's why when I gave my testimony about 47 supernatural events I witnessed, I just said, I'm a witness. I was just standing near when he did it. But it's all about God. If this message is not all about God to you, then you're just lost. You're a son of Satan, that's all. And I'll say that right to your face. You're just a son of Satan if you don't believe that this message is all about God. I was the only voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. He's talking about himself. A man, his words will fail. But, and I've heard Brother Branham many times say, look, I make mistakes just like you do. Brother Branham said it. But there's people say, oh, Brother Branham, you could never make a mistake. I mean, if he said, you know, his favorite pie was apple pie, then that was God's favorite pie. Yeah, right. Why did God allow cherry pie, peach pie, and everything else? God's a God of variety. Why did he just put one kind of flower out there? You know, that's my favorite flower. It doesn't mean it's God's favorite flower. God put all kinds of flowers out there. A man, his words will fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. If you haven't fed fully on every word to give yourself strength to fly over all these denominations and things of the world, will you at this time do it while we pray? So why do those listening to tapes seem to get it wrong? They're listening to the prophet because they are using the flashlight wrong. If I gave you a flashlight and I said, now shine it on that over there, and you turn it on yourself and you go blind, you're not using it right. Huh? Because they use a flashlight wrong. They are looking at it alone and not on what it is pointing at. So they still think William Branham taught a oneness doctrine because they got the flashlight looking right in their eyes. But I'm looking at the message. I'm looking at the light. No, you're not. Not in the way you're supposed to. But he taught just the opposite. So Paul continues, unto a perfect man. That is a fully mature adult bride. So are we there yet? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you see the full character of Christ anywhere yet today? No. Where we will deny everything that is contrary to the word of God. Everything. I don't care if your wife says something. If it's not the word, then don't have to listen to it. I don't care if your husband tells you something. If it's not the word, don't listen to it. Stand up for God and his word. You see, there's a contingency clause to the fivefold ministry. And it says, until these clauses have been met by the church, God will not take it out of the church. Now, I've shown you where God foreordained, because Brother Branham said all fivefold ministries are foreordained of God. I can show you where he foreordained them and placed these men in the church, and the contingency clause says where he will take it out. And I showed you what their ministry is for by his word, to bring a maturity. Now you show me where he took it out of the church, and you can't. Now Brother Branham and Brother Paul and Brother Branham, the first and the last messenger to the Gentile church, guided by the one who is the first and the last, both said the same thing. You must say what they say. But of course, these men won't do it. So if they add to what has been said, the Bible says that they will receive the plagues. And if they take away from what was said, the Bible says they will have their names taken from the book of life. So anyone taking the fivefold ministry out of the church presumptuously, before the clause is finished, they don't have the Holy Ghost, period. They don't have the Holy Ghost. How can they have the Holy Ghost if they deny God's word? And anyone who adds to, like push play, will get the plagues. That's the tribulation period, unless they repent. So my word out there to all the push play people is you better repent before it's over. If you want to go home on time, okay? So you can still repent in this hour. It is not too late to say only what the prophet says. and this Bible tells you to say. And don't get mad at me for saying that the Word of God, what the Word of God says. You can read it for yourself. Revelation 22:18 says, "And I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Is push play adding to the word? Well, there's a scripture for it. Revelation 22:19, "And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, I'm not saying these brothers are lost. Not yet. Not yet. But when he comes and they're still thinking these things, they are lost. And they will not make the rapture. I'm saying that they are not quoting the prophet. So their doctrine is a doctrine of man and not the doctrine of God. When, I won't say that. I'll tell you afterwards if you want to find out. But, and they think that they're protecting the message with their own pet doctrine. But God does not need your protection. You're only doing God a service without it being his will. In fact, the Bible says that God is in you to will and to do. So just let go and let God have his way and just say what the prophet said. Therefore, you are warned, if you persist in this push-play doctrine, then you have added to the word and you are headed for tribulation. I hope you wake up before that time and realize you've been wrong. And that is not my words, that is God's word. And those who say we don't need a fivefold ministry, you have taken away from the word and your name will be taken from the book of life. Read it in the Bible, that is what God said. Now, if a pastor wishes for his congregation, his church, to only listen to tapes as a congregation, that is his prerogative. That is his decision, but no one else has the right to tell you to do that. In other words, there's no central person in this message that says, you're all supposed to, if you're fivefold, you're supposed to push play. That person's wrong and a Nicolaitan to say that. And no one has the right to tell any fivefold minister what he should preach either. Or we are going to all listen to the same tape at the same time. That's Catholic, like I brought out a few weeks ago. The Catholic Church tells the priest, okay, you're going to speak on this subject, you're going to use these scriptures, and your homily is going to be such. And so they all follow just like dogs. All right? Well, do what the master says. There is no master. There is no seventh angel. He's gone. There's no eighth messenger. The seventh is the last. The seventh is the last. Any prophet who says otherwise is a false prophet. And I know Joseph isn't saying that because Joseph says, I'm just a fivefold. So get that off your mind. But there are people who think Joseph, listen, I have close friends of the Branham family, and they told me that a certain preacher said, well, Brother Joseph's got, he's got double portion of what Brother Branham had. He said, how do you figure? He said, well, he's printing the books. Since when does printing books make you a double portion? Well, then, you know what? Just get yourself a printing press. Brother Bill said, you get yourself a printing press, and now you got a denomination. All right? Yeah. That minister said, Brother Joseph, he's got the word of God because, you know, he's printing books. Give me a break. Anybody want double portion? Just start printing books. Now you got double portion with Brother Branham. That is like insane to think that. Insane to think that. All right? But they do it. I've been to weddings where they didn't even, the minister didn't even say a word. They just pushed play and listened to Brother Branham. Brother Branham did a sermon. You know, it was actually a wedding. And so they play that, but they have the minister sign the document. Why? Because the government wouldn't accept that. They say, he's dead. He can't sign. So they have the local minister sign. What tummy rot? Brother Brown said this Pentecost, that's what they are. Pentecost would be, in 50 years, would be worse than the Catholic Church. Worse. And they are. And they're right here in this message. Pentecostals. Now, as I said, if a pastor wishes for his church to listen to tapes of the congregation, that's up to him. They voted him as pastor. That's his decision, but no one else has a right to tell him to do so, and no one has a right to tell any fivefold minister what to preach or what to do or to push a play or push a certain button. And I showed you, you can look it up, push play, look it up. There's about 12 pages of hits that shows that push play is used by all kinds of companies to market their thing. All right? Now, notice the fivefold is to be here so that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you don't believe seven thunders. Well, you're not going to make it because Brother Branham preached seven thunders. Well, he didn't preach it like you're preaching it. He preached otherwise. He said when every seal was opened, it thundered. Oh, but you're not saying that. Well, Brother Branham said there's two souls. No, he didn't. He said the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and if that soul shall repent, it shall live. Doesn't say there's two souls, one to die and one to live. It says the same soul shall live or die depending on what it does with the word. You see? But Brother Branham did say it, but it's only a partial quote. They don't take what he said before and what he said afterwards. But it says, whereby who lie in wait to deceive. Anyone who willingly adds to or takes away from what the prophet messenger had to say. Now, I'm not condemning anyone who does this. God will judge you by his word. But I will not speak of your end. That's his business. You see, Brother Branham warned us against trying to protect God's word. He doesn't need you to protect his word. He just wants you to believe. You know, I have friends that, you know, they would say, why don't you say something? This man just said something about Brother Vail or Brother Branham. I said, well, by his words he'll be condemned. Why should I go in and fight like Brother Vail said? Brian, what I like about you is you don't make your enemies my enemies. You know, you don't try to make me think, you know, the ones you like are I'm supposed to like as well. You see? And the vice versa. It's an individual affair. From question and answer, the brother asked Brother Branham, what if a preacher preaches wrong? See what I mean? Brother Taylor asked, how about the man bringing the wrong message? I mean, he thinks he's right, but he's speaking wrong. Well, I believe that man is sincere, like the brother that's sitting here wanting to go back over and trace these things back like that. If that man's elected of God and he's ever brought before the truth, he will recognize it. The elect can't be deceived. See, my sheep know my voice. You understand? See what I mean? Brother Taylor, is that what you're talking about? See? So do not worry about whether a man might have something exactly right or not. If he is elect and shown the truth, he will change what he is preaching accordingly. But if he continues to preach wrong after he has been shown the truth, the Bible says that he is lost. Hebrews 10:26 says, and if we sin willfully, that means to disbelieve willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So there is no more sacrifice for their unbelief. So, let's get back to what Brother Brown said in the Church Aid book. And soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. Well, they say it's pure because we just push play. Listen, Brother Brown never said push play, so it's not pure. It's not pure. You say there's no fivefold ministry, and the Bible says there is. It's not pure. All right? It's heresy. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. In the beginning was who? The Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. So the voice of God is the Word. And what exactly is the voice of God? Is it a human voice? The voice of a single man? No. It is a voice of God of the Word. And God is the Word. Therefore, it is God's voice. And the prophet is only a reflector of that Word. Now, he may be the first one to speak that truth from the Bible in this hour, but if you are reflecting or echoing what he said, that's the same voice of God the people are hearing. It's the voice of the Word. Now, Brother Branham was very clear when he said the voice of God is his Word. People think because Brother Branham spoke the Word that he was the only voice that God uses, and that is error. He might have been the voice of God for this age, but an echo of the voice is the same voice of God because it is the same Word of God. I'm not saying they are the voice of God, but the Word is the voice. And William Branham was vindicating by God that he had it, and any true fivefold minister are just an echo of the same Word. Therefore, it is the same voice. Brother Branham explains this in a sermon. Why cry? He says, the voice of God speaks through the Word and speaks through gifts. As one gift comes, another expresses it. Another gift comes, another expresses the same. See, that's sure right with the Word and right with the hour. Again, he said from Luke, he said, that's what the church ought to do today. Look to one thing, the voice, the Word of God that speaks to us. From demonology, in religious realm, he said, there's a Urim Thummim today. God's Word speaks, and that directs, and that's direct the voice of God, like the Urim Thummim was before the Bible was written. From True Easter Seal, he said, the prophets, God kept his voice alive with the prophets. They spoke the Word of God, and they stoned them. From Lean Not to Thy Own Understanding, he said, notice Jesus said in St. John 10, my sheep know my voice, a voice, of course, his Word, when he's speaking. My sheep know my voice. My voice has been proven to them to be true. The Word came through Paul, and then William Branham echoed it. And we echo him. Alpha has become Omega. And the first message and the last message is the same. We don't have another message. We have the message that was brought to us from Paul through William Branham. I wouldn't understand the scripture if it wasn't for the voice of God through William Branham. But when I say the same thing he said, God backs it up with the same miracles he had. From faith is the substance, he said, I think real true ministers of the gospel ought to be up and going, ought to be giving the people the right things, meet in due season. How do you do that? Push play? No. And Jesus himself commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Not play it. Preach the gospel. Not play the gospel. Preach it. Another time he sent us into all the world to teach all nations. I've tried to, and there are so many brethren who are doing the same. There are brothers in Africa and South America and Asia and India who are doing what Jesus commanded us to do. Now, back to the church age book. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Paul couldn't change his own word because it wasn't his own word. It was God's word. And he was only saying, what is thus saith the Lord? It's the Lord said thus. So if you say different from what the Lord said thus, you don't have thus saith the Lord. You have thus saith William Branham or thus saith, whoever. Brother Branham never came to us and said, thus saith William Branham. He said, thus saith the Lord. All right? But how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers and then say, never said play, say what has been given them to say, now again, not play, to the churches. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, teaching is an essential ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it is God's way of instructing his children. Without the teaching of the Holy Spirit through his vessels, you cannot in any way understand the kingdom of God, nor could you possibly see it, which means understand it, nor can you recognize it,
when it's presented to you. And teaching is doctrine. That is what the word doctrine means, is teaching. And I'm not saying Lee Vell was the only one who had it, because Brother Vell told me 10 years before he preached the Parousia, Brother Mick Hughes, from Arizona, was preaching the appearing before the coming. And he was showing from the scripture, the appearing is now, and makes a way for the coming. Same thing as Parousia. That's what Brother Vell taught it from the word Parousia. And in the book of John 6:45, we are told, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned. You see, you can hear, but you don't learn. But he that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Therefore, unless you have been taught and have learned, you cannot even come to God. Because what God are you going to come to? Now, those are Jesus' own words. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit has always been one of instruction. That is why the doctrine is so important, because doctrine is teaching. And when you're in school, when you get a test, you repeat back to the teacher what you have been taught. Then he knows that you've got it. All right? Now, Revelation 4, Throne of Mercy, we need men of God, men who won't hold back. That's what we're doing today. Now, everybody can't be a preacher, but you got a voice. And if you can't preach the people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach, not push play, preach. And if you're not, you're still a preacher, but live the people a sermon. So it's okay to just play tapes if you're not called to preach? Well, yes, but don't just go where they play tapes only. If there is a genuine fivefold minister you can listen to help you understand this message. Then he says, let your sermon be lived. In other words, you can get the message to them by preaching it and living it. And it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. So in conclusion, he says, just live your sermon. The preacher's called to preach his and to live it too. Not one or the other, both. If you can't live it, then stop preaching it. But you're supposed to live your sermon. From Balm and Gilead, he said, now there's five offices that God put in the church. There's nine spiritual gifts that accompany that office and all the members of the body. The first is apostles, which is missionaries. The word apostle means one that's sent. The word missionary means one that's sent. The same word. Apostles, then prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. These offices God sets in the church. They're all in operation, or should be. We cannot bypass one and say that there's a teacher without saying there's an evangelist. We cannot say there's an evangelist without saying there is an apostle. We cannot say there's apostles without admitting there's prophets. All of them are for the perfecting of the body of Christ. And where there is no fivefold, there is no perfection, period. Then he says, the Lord gives me visions. Those things begin when I was a little baby. I do not believe that a man can be called of God and be a successful minister. Well, that's the problem we have today. I believe that gifts and callings are without repentance in God by his foreknowledge, foreordained his ministers into the gospel and the gifts into the church. Oh, I know there's many rise up and go out and say, I don't need to go to church anymore, praise God. The Holy Ghost has come and he's a teacher. And when you get that idea, you are just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church if he was going to teach, be the teacher? See? There are first apostles, then prophets, evangelists, or teachers, evangelists, pastors. The Holy Spirit set teachers in the church so he could teach through the teacher. Then to deny the teacher, you are denying God himself. And if it isn't according to the word, God doesn't confirm it. Then if it isn't right kind of a teaching, it must compare with the entire Bible and be just as lie today as it was then. There's a real thing made manifest. So push play is not even in the Bible. Did you know that? It's on Google. So if you're a Google person, I guess you can go and get your push play. You know, push play this and push play that. But it's not in the Bible. And if it isn't according to the Word of God, God doesn't confirm it, then it isn't right kind of teaching. It must compare with the entire Bible and be just as alive today as it was then. There's a real thing made manifest. from Q&A image of the beast. He said, you say, well, glory to God. The Bible said, when the Holy Ghost has come, you don't need any teacher. He's a teacher himself. Oh, brother, how can you be so little from reading the scriptures? That's why Paul said, you know, when you ought to be teaching people yourself, you have need that someone teach you. Why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church then? Say, I don't have to anybody to teach me. The Holy Ghost teaches me. It does through teachers. He set teachers in the church. He said, are all teachers, are all apostles, are all gifts of healing. The Holy Ghost set these things in the church. He operates them all, and each one of them operates own orderly. And from Hebrews chapter 5, he says, but the deep spiritual mystery, the church is still blinded to it. He said, when you ought to be teachers, teaching others, you're still a babe. Oh, I know there's many rise up and go out and say, I don't need to go to church anymore. Yeah, I've had a man tell me, from the voice of God, they told me this certain minister, he returned all of his tapes because he said, we are the word now. We don't need Brother Ram's tapes anymore. Can you imagine that? I don't need to go to church anymore. Praise God. The Holy Ghost has come. He's a teacher. And when you get that idea, you're just wrong. For why did the Holy Ghost set teachers in the church if he was going to be the teacher? See, there are first apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. The Holy Ghost sets teachers in the church so he could teach through the teacher. And if it isn't according to the word, God doesn't confirm it, then it isn't the right kind of teaching. It must compare with the entire Bible and be just as alive today as it was then. There's the real thing made manifest. I'm enjoying these quotes from Brother Brown. They're tremendous. From question and answer, he says, someone said not long ago, said, why, Brother Brown, we don't need anybody to teach us. When the Holy Ghost comes, we don't need anybody to teach. Said, the Bible says that you do not need teaching. I said, then why did the same Holy Spirit set in the church teachers? See? He set the church in order. We got to have teachers. That's right. But you oughtn't to have anyone. Don't have to teach you saying, thou should not, excuse me. But you oughtn't to have anyone. Don't have to teach you saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not swear and take. And you already know that. You're very conscious of the Holy Spirit tells you it's wrong to do that. But now as far as scriptural teaching is concerned, it takes a Holy Ghost anointed. That's right. And God has set in the church in order by apostles and prophets and gifts of healing and miracles and so forth. He set the church in order and put the teachers and so forth in there to guide and direct his church. Now, notice how important teaching was to Jesus. We are told in the Gospels that Jesus taught the people daily. From Jesus Christ the same, he said, but the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels, and God has set in the church what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists and pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches, it's God preaching through him. Well, why do we all say, well, God preached through Brother Branham, but they won't say God preaches through a fivefold minister? It's not the prophet that sees the vision, it's God speaking through him. I do nothing except the Father show me first. In Luke 19:47, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. In Mark 4:2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, and in Matthew 7:27, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there is one thing that you should know for sure, that if God sends a man and backs up that man with his presence and his power, then that man will not be there with a message that is the same old teaching the people have been believing all along. For why would God send a message if you already knew what it is? God does not do anything in vain, and neither does he waste his time, nor does he waste your time. And God is not wasting his time nor his gifts to the church by sending to the church a fivefold gift. What would be the reason for sending a messenger with a message if the message is not a clearer understanding than you had before? And that is also what the fivefold ministry is to do as well. He is to clear up the misconceptions people have. And there's plenty of them, because Brother Branham has many, many times, he said, you might have thought I was saying, but I wasn't. You heard me, but you heard me wrong. Okay. Now, from the message, the token, Brother Branham said, now, when you see signs going on and no message behind it, just the same old school of theology and on down that wasn't from God, but where there's a sign showed, a message follows it. The reason God performs the signs and wonders is then to attract the attention of the people to the teaching, which is the message. And he just doesn't do it with his prophet from that age. He sends other men also to follow up that prophet, and he uses signs and wonders to verify they are saying the same thing. And yet, just because God's main purpose is to teach you does not mean the people always get it. How many went to school in here? Come on, I want to see every hand. And in your classes, you had some people that caught it right away, and other people didn't catch a thing. Same everywhere. From why it had to be shepherds. All, as we know, Israel did not receive the prophet shepherd's word. All of Israel didn't receive it. Now notice, they was complaining. Oh, when he was performing miracles, he was a great fellow. But when it comes to his message, that was different. All great signs follow a new message coming. We know that. In the wilderness, it complained in the wilderness and died by the thousands. Frankly, there was only two of them that ever went through there that was saved out of 2.5 million. You know, that's how many people are in the message today. Wow, I didn't know Brother Brown said that. 2 out of 2.5 million. Alpha is Omega. Okay. So we see then the main emphasis that God places on his personal presence is to teach man. And yet man most often don't even get it. They want to fish, they want the fishes and the loaves, but they do not want to be taught. They would rather hear a man tell stories about hunting and fishing with the prophet than someone who could explain what the prophet was saying. And yet, unless they are taught and learn what they are taught, they cannot even come to God. For how are you going to come to God if you do not even know what God to come to? And the teaching cannot be just the thoughts of man, or he cannot be the messenger, or he cannot be a messenger from God. For if he is a true messenger, he will say what has been told him to say by God. And what good would it be if God sent a man to be his messenger if that man did not say what God told him to say? He certainly would not be a true witness. He would be a deceiver. In John 8:28, Jesus said, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Even the Son of God could not teach contrary to what he had been taught by God himself. And in the book of Galatians 1 and 11, we hear the Apostle Paul tell us the same thing. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was taught by God himself. Now, the fact of it is this, that we are told by the Apostle John that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And yet we know that God has placed in the church a fivefold ministry to do just that, to teach. And why is that? Because we know that God has always used men to teach his word. In the book of Acts, they taught from house to house and from church to church and from temple to temple. Wherever they could gather together, whenever they could gather together, people would listen. They scattered forth the seed, which is the word of God. And you are commanded to echo back the word which you are taught, echoing it back to the one teaching, so he knows where you are standing. Like I mentioned about people talking to their teacher, teacher asks them a question, they tell them what the teacher said. Because if one teaching does not have any feedback, he then will not know how to instruct further. Now in Galatians 6:6, Paul said, let him that is taught the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So how do you do that without speaking? Push play won't work. And again, in the book of Titus 1 and 9, we read, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to sound by sound doctrine, both to exhort, that's to preach, and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. It's all about the money. So follow the money. Big churches, big dollars. And these men subvert by not teaching what the prophet taught, but by adding here and taking there. That's why I say any church that's over 100 in this day, I kind of wonder what they're even preaching. If it's not about music and good times and nice things. Now we know, listen, Paul, the apostle Paul, the vindicated prophet of his hour, had 12 people. 12. 12 people. Not 1,500. 12. Now we know the purpose behind God teaching us is to draw us to him and not to some other object of worship. I know some say I follow this man or that man, but we should follow Christ. And believe me, there are plenty of deceivers out there who would try to influence you after their own persuasion, but gullible people believe deceiving liars with their stories to tell. 1 John 2:26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. The same John who wrote this said, if you don't listen to whom God sends, you don't listen to God. Okay? He says, he that is of God hears God's preachers. Okay? John also lets us know that the evidence that we are of God is that we will hear those that are of God. 1 John 4:5. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if they're the spirit of error, they don't need a fivefold, because it doesn't do them any good. And that is why I believe that those who will not hear the true fivefold ministry and shut themselves off from the ones that God is using are not even born again. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear in the book of Romans why we need to hear only those that God has sent. In Romans 10, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? You call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, right? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, you can call on the name of the Lord, but if you don't believe, how are you going to call on him? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Even though they say they hear, they boast in vain. Unless they hear true preachers, for to hear false preachers means as much as not even to hear. They hear and they don't hear. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor do they preach the word of God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is directed against all conceited teachers and arrogant instructors. If you'll notice in verse 14 to 15, there are four statements that Paul makes, that which follow together in such a way that one leads to another, but so that the last forms a foundation on which the others shall rest. Thus we see from what Paul said that it is impossible for those to preach who have not been sent. It then is impossible for those to hear who are without a preacher. And it is impossible for them to believe who do not hear. And thus it would be impossible for them to call upon the name of the Lord whom they do not believe. And thus it would be impossible for them who do not call on the name of the Lord even to be saved. So then the entire source and origin of salvation rests on this, that God sends out someone. Now, would just anyone do? not according to God's word, God will send out a true minister of God. Because if God does not send out any, then they who preach, preach falsely. And their preaching is not really preaching at all. In fact, it would be better for them not to even preach, because what they are preaching is not what God wants the people to hear, and therefore it is false. Then also they who would hear such an one would hear an error. And it would be better for them not to even hear that. Then also they who believe based on this, their hearing error, would believe based on false doctrine, and it would be better for them not to even believe, because they believe a different God. Then also they who call upon him would call falsely upon a false Lord, and it would be better for them not to even call. For such preachers do not preach, such hearers do not hear, such believers do not believe, such callers do not call. They will be damned, because they would be saved by falsehood. Then we can see Proverbs 1:28, we can see what it means when it says, then they shall call upon me and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did choose the fear, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And so we hear Paul conclude in verse 16, but they that have obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, the true revealed and vindicated word of God. Then you can see the importance this morning of receiving a vindicated ministry and preaching the same word. Because if it is not vindicated, then how do you know what you are hearing is not error? And if a minister does not line up the spoken word with the written word, like the two sights on a gun, then something is wrong. And if it is error, then you would be believing in error. And if you believe error, then you would be calling out to a wrong God. And if you call out to a wrong God, then how can you be saved? We're just about closing now. Now Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. Now we have already covered this. It means to take heed or be careful in what way or what manner that you are hearing. And then he goes on to tell us what he means. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So if you're using the word to measure, you're fine. If you're not using the word to measure, you're lost. In other words, we could say that as with what measure instrument you use to divide my word, that is a measure you will get. If you use a righteous measuring instrument, you will get a rightly divided word. But if you use some other means to divide my word, then you will get what you're looking for. If you examine the word with a Baptist filter, you will get a Baptist Bible. If you use a Catholic filter, you divide the word, you will get a Catholic Bible. And if you use a Pentecostal experience to measure the word, you will get a Pentecostal Bible, and no more. But if you rightly divide the word, you will get righteousness, which is right wiseness. And then it continues, and unto you they hear. Now, we know that not everyone, this is not for everyone, because hearing means to understand. In Matthew 13:10-17, and Mark 4:10-12, Jesus said that not everyone is ordained to understand. He said, they that have ears but cannot hear, and eyes but cannot see. In Matthew 13:13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ear, and heart stands for understanding. These people's understanding is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And then Jesus continued, and unto you that hear shall more be given, for he that hath to him shall be given. Now we've covered this before. But that word hath is a Greek word echo, and an echo is being able to repeat back the same words with the same expression so that it is clear that you do understand. For I cannot use the same words without different, I can use the same words with different expressions and mean completely the opposite. I could say with assurance, William Branham is a prophet. and you will notice by my statement that I am sure of what I'm saying. And I stand firm behind that statement. But I could say those same words, and instead of an exclamation mark, I could use a question mark, and it would give a totally different meaning. William Branham is a prophet? Therefore, just being able to repeat the word is not being able to echo the word. A parrot can repeat, but it takes a certain gift from God to be able to echo it back, because in doing so, you are expressing the same spirit as the composer. Now let's listen and continue. And he that hath not, that means to those that are not made in such a way as to understand, therefore echo or give back to God what he has given to you. And that is what true worship and sacrifice is all about. God does not require just any old sacrifice. What he requires is what he gives to us, and we give it back to him, showing we know from whence it came in the first place. True sacrifice is giving back to God what he has revealed to you. And did you know that you become your sacrifice? Abel offered to God a bleeding, dying lamb and became a bleeding, dying lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God, and that is what he offered back to God. Therefore, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And the literal meaning of that means, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he hath. Then there is no way for them to rightly offer back to God anything, because they don't even have it to begin with. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, I know this has been a long sermon, but I just pray that you would be with us through the communion service. And Lord, we've spoken your word best we can, and we just ask that you would anoint it to the people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.